there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line here presented by BetMGM on a Tuesday morning from the South Point Sportsbook Studio. Morning on the West Coast, afternoon on the East Coast, where we're going to have quite a fun show today. Jonathan Von Tobel joins me, Ben Wilson, Patrick Maher, Michael Lombardi with the day off today. And we have MLB trade deadline action abounding. It'll be pretty much nonstop here for the next few hours. But the big news that comes out right as we're getting ready to get on the air at JVT, it is Juan Soto.
Yep.
Officially out of Washington, heading to the San Diego Padres, and we'll start there because the reported final deal, Mackenzie Gore, one of the top prospect pitchers for the Padres, leaving San Diego, C.J. Abrams, their top shortstop prospect, as well as three other prospects, Robert Hassel III, James Wood, Harlan Susana, all heading to Washington, and we're going to get into the betting market implications of this here in just a second, but that is your trade, and I don't know how surprised you are, scale of 1 to 10, or what you feel like this does for San Diego, but it is a done deal, and Josh Bell is also being included along with Soto there to San Diego.
I mean, I'm not surprised that the deal's actually done, right? The noise had been here. The noise had been around the Padres for a while. We were talking about this off the air. I am relatively surprised by the package that got Juan Soto. It doesn't seem like a mind-blowing package. Now, you know, I always look, I'm the NBA guy here at the network, and you even see it in the National Football League as well, where some of these deals for some of these players that are, you know, really good game changers, franchise players like Juan Soto, tend to have a little bit more impact to them, right? When it comes to draft compensation, when it comes to players that are shipped off. This does not seem to be the case outside of Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams. So, look, baseball's weird, and maybe all of these guys, when you're talking about the prospects hitting, we look back on this and it's a steal for the Washington Nationals, but I think on the surface, given the impact of a guy like Juan Soto and what his potential could be here and what it means for the Padres in the future going forward, it seems like a pretty nice deal. I won't say that they won the trade, but it seems like a nice deal for the Padres on the surface.
My big surprise, if anything, here is not on the team that actually lands Juan Soto. It's the team that didn't, and that was the St. Louis Cardinals, where if you looked at all the packages, and by the time we got to this morning, it was pretty well widely reported that Padres, Dodgers, Cardinals, those were your final three teams, and it was all about who would go the farthest, make the best offer. We saw the pictures this weekend, John Mozeliak, the Cardinals GM, sitting up there in D.C. Cardinals were playing the Nationals, sitting in the GM's box there with all the Nationals front office brass. And you figured if the Cardinals were willing to give up Dylan Carlson, Nolan Gorman, and Matthew Liberatore, three guys already in the big leagues, already extremely productive players, along with two other top prospects, that would probably blow out every other team in the water. All the reports are indicating the Cardinals, they did not want to include Dylan Carlson. That was a no-go, and that pretty much hurt them. And at the end of the day, and like you say, baseball is weird. We always look at this in the immediacy and how this will impact things right here, right now. You never know how this will work out down the road. But St. Louis had a pretty good opportunity. Yes, you give away three guys in the major leagues, two of whom were very, very big bats for you already. But you're getting a guy in Juan Soto who is viewed as a generational player and is going to be a guy that gets a $500 million contract. So right. that was my big surprise.
Well, and you get a solid core, right? You have Tatis, who's eventually going to make his way back. We get the report, what was it, yesterday, yeah. that the rehab assignment is going to start soon. Manny Machado up there in terms of National League MVP contenders, potentially, if the season drags along and he can get back in there. But, yeah, if you look at this from that standpoint, it makes sense for San Diego. But at the same time, when you're talking about moving the needle and your ability to win a championship here, I mean, we all said this right when we talked about this before he came on the air with Gil when he walked out of the studio, which was, okay, they've made this move. Do you think the Padres are now winning the World Series? And I think all of us were like, nah, not. Right. Like, I'm not running to bet them. They're down to, I think you mentioned in some spots as low as, what, 5-1 to win the World Series at a couple of books, right?
Yeah, couple local books have them down to 5-1. At least BetMGM. And I think
which is a little ridiculous.
I would say that's a bit overreaching. The general market consensus right now, I'm seeing it BetMGM. San Diego down to 10-1 to win the World Series. So that's your sixth betting favorite. Plus 450 to win the NL. They're tied for the Braves here for the third favorable odds. If you're trying to do some price shopping and you feel like, all right, this is the sign I want in on San Diego, you can find 6-1s in the market on them to win the National League pennant. You can find 12-1s on them to win the World Series. That's about the best you're going to do. This was 22-1 at DraftKings about a week ago, and on Primetime Action we did our power ratings of our favorite five Major League World Series futures. So yes, it's one of those where do you still feel like that is worth a play at the current spot in the market? You are likely not going to catch the Dodgers for the NL West. Still, I'll check the current numbers of what, 7 back of the Dodgers right now in the NL West. So it is going to be a wild card path. And it might not even be the number one seed because of how good the Braves and the Mets are playing. So just keep that in mind if you're running to the window and saying, well, I've got value even still on the Padres because that number will only get shorter. You're probably in a position where unless you go nuclear in the final 60 games, John, I mean, you're still looking at a one-and-done type scenario as likely that number two wild card. So that would be my only hesitation there with San Diego.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely the deal there when it comes to what they're going to have to face. And I think that's exactly what happened last year for the Dodgers, right? Like the Dodgers, ultimately, they make the big moves and the Giants won that division, correct? Yeah. So if you're looking at it,
107 wins for San Francisco.
And thinking back, they found themselves, they went for it, but they were also in a situation where they had to win a one and done, and they were successful and they moved on. But still, you're going to find themselves in the situation. Now, the difference is for the Dodgers, or at least one side of that when it comes to Scherzer, it was a rental. Right. But when it comes to this is a guy that's under team control through 2024. And you would think maybe he's going to be part of your long term plans if you're the San Diego Padres instead of one big swing at it, as opposed to what we saw from Los Angeles a season ago. By the way, I want to note that if you want a lot more analysis on this, our guy, Adam Burke, is running a live blog up on the website on VSiN.com.
Oh, sweet.
And he has updated it with his thoughts on Juan Soto and the trade. It gives you the betting aspect of everything when it comes to these trade deadline deals, every single one of them. So make sure you go and read Adam's work.
And you know, we're going to have Adam Burke on the show in a little bit. A fun show today. We figure there would be a lot of baseball discussion. So, of course, as always, since this is the Lombardi Line, we'll have some NFL training camp news and notes as well. Will Hill going to join us, the host of the New York City Cast and Point Spread Weekly contributor. Will joins us here in about 40 minutes. Adam Burke will join us next hour. All the reactions there in the baseball world. And just to correct myself here, San Diego, they have a 2-game lead right now over Philadelphia for that third wild card spot. They are 12 games back of the Dodgers. It's amazing how quickly that can happen. But when you're looking at a team like the Dodgers who just keeps on winning games, their strength of schedule the rest of the year, it's about middle of the pack, 17th on the strength of schedule for San Diego. They still play the Dodgers a whopping 12 times.
Too, we should note that, as Adam puts in his piece, that Eric Hosmer was actually included in a salary dump by the Padres. So it looks like Hosmer is no longer a part of the San Diego Padres roster either.
So he is also, he is also gone. We're doing our best because these things come fast and furious.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing for San Diego that, to me, was the story of yesterday, where they trade for Josh Hader from Milwaukee, seen by many as the best closer in baseball right now, give up their struggling closer, Taylor Rogers, who they had demoted over the weekend, give up to Nelson Lamet, who had really fallen from grace.
Supposed to be the man. It was an old edge favorite, Nelson Lamet. He was going to be great.
One of my worst one of my worst fantasy keeper selections in quite some time.
I
kept Nelson Lamet, I think, 2 years ago, which is horrible.
It was a mistake for my fantasy team this year. I was like, oh, you know what? Last pick, let's hold on to him. He might get the closer role. Yeah, it didn't work out.
So, he's bounced back and forth between AAA and the majors. So they give up those two, Lamet as well as Rogers, to Milwaukee in exchange for Hader. That was a move to me. Looking at this from both sides, for Milwaukee, you have a 3-game lead in your division, and you're trading arguably the best closer in baseball. Now, some of the advanced numbers would tell you He's not been the same guy this year. He's at an over 17% barrel rate. So when guys are hitting him, he gives up a lot of hard contact. So it's fascinating to try and piece this together where you look at two teams who are pretty much saying, all right, we each have pieces here that are really struggling. Maybe they need to change the scenery. Each of those guys is not under full team control for much longer. Hader would have one more arbitration eligible year left next year before hitting the open market. Rodgers is I believe, a free agent at the end of this year. So that, to me, is really interesting. Like, how you view San Diego now, especially with getting a guy in Josh Hader who, let's remember, I mean, this guy has been absolutely automatic for essentially the last 5 years with the exception of a few spots here and there.
I've got to take it on him at 60-1 to win the Cy Young because he was off to that perfect start at the beginning of the year, right? Like, he was incredible. No, look, and I think when you talk about some of these short prices, too, you always have to remember that these are not necessarily, I think if you would ask any baseball bettor who had his or her own numbers, when you talk about the probability of the Padres winning the World Series, it's not going to be reflective of the price because the Padres got the two big names and they're going to be a popular selection at the books. It's why you see certain shops, as we're discussing, really overreact and move to 5-1 to try to protect themselves from people just coming in and hammering away at the Padres at double digits, whatever it is. They're always going to hang those numbers shorter than they probably should be because they are going to be perceived by the masses as trade deadline winners. Thus, those numbers are going to start to pop up a little bit higher, or should be shorter than they should be. So it is fascinating. They get big names, and it's going to be fun to watch it all come together. But at the same time, they're better, but I'm not sure if I'm really buying into them as a World Series title.
And the one that I think that the number that is going to be the most interesting for me to look at is some of these books that offer adjusted regular season win totals.
Yep.
Because this is not, and it's not something that everybody necessarily offers. So you have to, it kind of will depend on the jurisdiction you're in, the market you're at right now. But all things considered, let's remember last year, San Diego had the talent, obviously minus Soto, but they had an incredible team, an incredible first half of the year, a manager in Jace Tingler who had never really done it at the major league level. That team completely collapses. They go from being an easy wild card into still challenging for the NL West to not even in the playoffs, and it wasn't even close at the end of the day. I almost wonder, a team like this, 58-46, they've been somewhat disappointing, 558 win percentage, which translates to about a 90 win pace, but this was a team with a win total in the mid-90s here in the preseason. I wonder what you feel like a fair adjustment would be to that in-season win total, a team that clearly has played below their baseline potential. To me, 95 wins seems pretty realistic. Now, is that still good enough to get you the number one wild card with the way Atlanta and the Mets have been playing? I don't know. But that would be a realistic adjustment to me, even though you're at about a 90, 91 win pace right now.
So, and add maybe one and a half more wins just given the attention you're going to get. So put it in the range of like 96.5 or so. It would sound about right for the Padres. You know, I'm with you. I still think, too, when you look around, it's not a perfect roster by any stretch, and you're still waiting for Tatis to come back as well. And you do wonder what Soto brings to the table. From a numbers perspective, Soto's been okay this year. He's been solid. We know what he can be. And you wonder if this really is going to give you that big boost to your lineup because your lineup has not been overtly dominant. You only have a run differential that's 10 runs better than the San Francisco Giants at this point.
That is kind of stark when you look at it that way. Yes, for San Diego, 20-24 against teams above 500 as well. So they've really just beat up on a lot of the bad teams. We'll see how this changes the needle. We've given our thoughts on it. We'll again have more thoughts from Adam Burke, Will Hill a little bit later in the show. A lot of football though to get to on the show today because this week it's NFL preseason starting and also college football starting to get closer and closer. We'll talk about that next on the Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Just getting started on this Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line with Jonathan Von Tobel, our VSiN senior NBA analyst. But, you know, we talk a lot of other things. You just wrote a bunch of teams up for our VSiN college football betting guide. So
it's very true. I was also handed the assignment. I will be writing about the AFC East and the AFC North and the pro football betting guide.
Look at that. See, man of many talents. We don't pigeonhole you to just senior
although
NBA.
It's not. Is it writing still? I'm typing.
Typing, writing, you don't use a typewriter, you're doing the actual laptop? Okay, anyway. With our producer, Matt Santos, behind the glasses as well, doing a great job as always. We will continue to hit more on Major League Baseball trade deadline day, especially if anything more continues to pop up. Again, for those of you just joining us, though, the big news of the morning here on the West Coast, early afternoon on the East Coast, Juan Soto to San Diego in a blockbuster for among others, Mackenzie Gore, the top prospect, CJ Abrams, top shortstop prospect there for the Padres. We're going to get more reaction later in the show. Will Hill joins us in about 25 minutes. Adam Burke next hour, both of our MLB guys here on the network. So interestingly, JVT, while that was all going down about 15 minutes ago, we also had another little piece of news breaking in the National Football League, which kind of gets dumped as all the Major League Baseball trade deadline stuff is dominating all the airwaves. So Adam Schefter just reports the NFL, they have stripped the Miami Dolphins of their first-round draft pick for next year and a third-round pick in 2024. This is for, quote, violating the integrity of the game. This is coming out off of the investigation into their owner, Stephen Ross, who has now been suspended through October 17th, fined $1.5 million, which I'm sure to him is like $5 compared to, you know, if you're comparing him to us, the common man here. So for the tamperings into Tom Brady, some of the tanking allegations as well, pretty big deal long term, at least for Miami. Not that that, you know, will impact necessarily what happens this year with their numbers, but that is very fascinating to see the NFL. While we were focusing all of our attention yesterday on the fallout from Deshaun Watson getting the 6-game suspension, this is how the NFL cracks down here on Stephen Ross in Miami in particular.
Yeah, they come out with a 3-page release. I haven't had time to read the whole thing, but he's Goodell puts it in the release, quote, investigators found tampering violations of unprecedented scope and severity. I know of no prior instance of a team violating the prohibition of tampering with both a head coach and star player to the potential detriment of other clubs over a period of several years. That's pretty damning when it comes to the release from the National Football League. And I think it creates an interesting wrinkle with what we know about what's going on with Brian Flores and what he has alleged as well. So, we don't know what the fallout is going to be from this, but it seems that yet again, they have something else on their hands here when it comes to the Dolphins and having to strip them of this, and it sounds like it was pretty severe by their findings.
Yeah, and look, and it's not like you say, well, I don't know how Mike McDaniel's going to coach now because this is going on, right, and you run to bet unders, but at the
I will
very
be including
least,
this in my preview for the Dolphins and the NFL Pro Football Betting.
It is at least worth mentioning, but at the same time, not an ideal situation where this is already considered to be a pretty make-or-break year, right, for Tua Tagovailoa. You now know if you're Miami, I mean, you don't have a first-round pick next year, so it's not like if you get up, it's not like, again, it's funny because we just talk about these findings basically showing there was some tanking going on there and the scope that had never been seen before, at least from the league office perspective. So if you're the Dolphins, there's really no – the incentive here doesn't really exist. They say if you get off to a bad start, I mean, there's really no pathway here to at least salvage anything where you're not going to get a top pick next year because regardless of where you finish, you don't have it. So I wonder how that'll impact things where we already know for Tua and first-year coach and Mike McDaniel, a lot of expectations there in South Beach.
Yep. And I think, too – I'm not entirely sure how much I love it in terms of the expectations. I think that this is obviously all in the shoulders of Tua Tagovailoa and what his development is going to be. I know the comp has been thrown out there, and it does make some sense of Tua being a very similar quarterback to like a Jimmy Garoppolo type, and thus he maybe would be able to fit in Mike McDaniel's system. We know that Tyreek Hill has been very vocal about Tua Tagovailoa's ability.
I think I've heard.
I think we'll see if that's going to be the case. But regardless, they, along with the Patriots, who had a really good year last year, 10 wins, though I think a lot is thought of the AFC East, and I'm not sure I'm quite there yet with the Dolphins, mainly because the sample size has grown with Tua, and yet we haven't really seen a whole lot that is going to make you think it's going to change at this point.
Right, and it's hard to feel, especially with the way those numbers are at, which feel pretty fair for Miami. It's hard to have a ton of conviction, especially, I mean, really over or under. I mean, you feel like a team that's made significant improvements, but 8.5 feels about right. I look forward to reading what you end up having to say on the Miami Dolphins. Our pro football betting guide still to come.
Save for the guide, Ben.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm teasing it. A couple weeks' time. Hey, Thursday, Hall of Fame game will be getting underway. We'll have some more NFL news and notes from around training camp here in our next block. We'll also have some interesting storylines coming out of Dallas and their training camp as well in our next segment. Right now, I wanted to pivot into some of our college football news because that betting guide is already out. You can read all of John's fine words and writing on all of the Mountain West teams this season. You and I had a chance to talk with Pete Futak when we filled in on Primetime Action last week, talking his overall thoughts on the Mountain West. As we've seen things kind of develop, we're now into camp with a lot of these teams. Media days are wrapped up. Fresno State, your favorite at this point here, followed closely by Boise State, Air Force, Utah State, San
Diego
State,
the
top five. It is
so we've seen a shift
to see. Yes, since we last talked about this,
since the Mountain West preview has come out,
yes,
in the college football betting guide,
team moving lines.
There we go.
You and Matt Eumanns on the edge had Fresno State number 40 to kick off your top 40 countdown. So for those who are just seeing this for the first time, Boise State was a favorite whenever these lines were released, pretty much all offseason, right in the 2-1 range with Fresno State around +250. So yes, we have seen the shift. We've seen a little love on coming in on Air Force as well here, to basically a third favorite right now.
And look, if you're along those same lines of thinking that I am, that Fresno State is the best team in the conference, shop around. For example, you know, I bet Fresno State over at Circa 3-1 to win the conference, and I'm looking at it right now. They still have 3-1 up on the Bulldogs to win the Mountain West, and I think that's very viable. And when you look at Boise State, for me, there was a lot of spots, Ben, that had them as the favorite to win this conference, but much of that, I think, was because of the brand that is Boise State. They are the recognizable program in the Mountain West. A lot of people would point to them, San Diego State, and perhaps Fresno State as the teams that would be the most respected football programs there, but Boise State's had quite the run. The problem is Boise State, not only coming off of a 7-5 year, their offense looks to be pretty pedestrian. Hank Bachmeier is not – I don't think he's a very great quarterback. He's not a dynamic quarterback that they've had in years past. He has a penchant for taking sacks. Turnover, small issue there, not really dynamic in terms of his ability to stretch the field and just create a dynamic offense. And so with all that put together, you look at a team like Fresno State with Jake Haner coming back, over 4,000 yards, top two pass catchers coming back, Jordan Mims, a 700-yard rusher, a defense that has seven guys coming back that was really, really good, and a battle-tested group. When you're talking about going on the road last year, playing at UCLA and beating them, covering wire to wire as a 20-point underdog against Oregon, Jeff Tedford takes the program back over 2017 to 2019. Two Mountain West title trips under Tedford. They won one of them. This is a program that's done it. They've been consistent now over the last better part of, I'd say, 5 to 7 years, and they have one of the best quarterbacks, not only in the conference, on the West Coast. I mean, we have Caleb Williams, and I would throw Jake Haner right there underneath him when we're talking about the best quarterbacks along the West Coast. This is going to be a team that has a lot going for them this year. So when you're talking about the price of about 3-1, which can be found, for me, if they're not the favorite, then there's value in that, especially at a price tag of +300.
And you can still find them, at least win total markets, lighter than Boise State. You see Boise State still with the nines juiced over. Fresno State at 8.5 juiced well over as well with the Air Force, and even 8.5 there. And that's the one interesting thing for me looking at Fresno State. If you're looking at this conference at the very top here and believing in what you do, JVT, and that's you've got like a first-year offensive coordinator and Kirby Moore coming in and Jeff Tedford who is back. It's weird to try and quantify, okay, a guy who's been there so clearly knows that system and the conference back in a first year where normally you see so much turnover and there's a natural drop off there right away. You got to think, I mean, I don't know how you compare this, like for a coach to come in and to immediately have a guy, as we just talked about, one of the best quarterbacks in the region, essentially, even if there is a first year OC and even if you are technically in your first year, even though you've had stints before, I wonder how much you kind of bake that into your own personal number, thinking, well, maybe the market's not giving as much respect since this is just on paper a couple of first-year guys in name only really taking back over.
Yeah, and I want to point out E. McDonald, who is a listener of and viewer of VSiN, points out, and I want to say this too, for me the top two teams in the Mountain West, it is Fresno State and it is Air Force.
Yeah,
and it is
Air
very
Force.
Much worth pointing out that the Falcons, who are you can get in the range of about +460 or so, the best price I've seen on them, they returned four guys from an offensive line that was the Joe Moore Award finalist. It's an award given to the best offensive line in the country. Ezekiel Daniels is arguably the best quarterback they've had in in their history. He is one of the best passers they have had. He comes back with their fullback from last year. Both of them rushed over 2,000 yards combined and over 25 touchdowns. This is going to be a team that not only has a lot going for them, they have one of the easier schedules as well that's going to be in front of them.
They do not play Fresno State.
They don't play Fresno State. Could face them in the Mountain title game, obviously. Yeah. How about this? If you look at some spots, like, for example, our college football betting guide, Steve Mackinnon has them favored in every game but one, and that one game's a pick. Others have them favored in every game, Air Force. Schedule sets up really nicely for them. So not only betting them to go over their win total, but for me, when you're looking at it from a price standpoint, 3-1 on Fresno State, plus 450 on Air Force in a matchup that could very well be your Mountain West title game this year.
And as you pointed out last week, they got rid of the divisions getting rid of this year or next year?
There's been some confusion.
Yeah, in that. So they are still in the divisions this year. Yes. Top two from those winners of the respective divisions. Yeah. Mountain West title game this year. And as you see on the screen, some shops, Air Force, you can find the 8.5s, you know, evenly juiced. Some are up to minus 145 on that over. So very interesting to take a look now that we've had a couple weeks here to digest our college football betting guide, see where some of these teams are a-moving. When we return, some NFL news and notes from around training camp. That is next on the Lombardi Line. The VSiN College Football Guide is out now. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of all 131 teams, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus our best season win total bets, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff predictions. The only way to get access to this year's football betting guide is to become a VSiN All-Access subscriber. Sign up early, and for a discounted $175, you'll receive the college and pro football betting guides, along with full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the sports betting network. What do we got over there, John?
So an update on what's going on with the Miami Dolphins. This is from Adam Schefter. The NFL determined that, quote, the Dolphins did not intentionally lose games during the 2019 season, nor did anyone at the club, including Mr. Ross, instruct Coach Flores, Brian Flores, to do so. No witness contended otherwise. Schefter adds, that's end quote there, but Schefter adds, today's penalties are all about tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. And one of the more incredible and underreported stories in this NFL offseason, in which Tom Brady was angling to join Sean Payton in Miami. He was going to be, I think, part owner, if I remember correctly, the story.
I believe that was right, yes.
Payton was going to be head coach, and he was still going to play, and they were going to lead the Dolphins to the promised land.
You are right, though. Because of our focus on Deshaun Watson all offseason, that's a kind of underrated, I mean, ridiculous NFL story, if we're being real here. And also, we said last segment, and mentioning when this story broke, Dolphins do lose their first-round draft pick for next year. They do already hold a second first-round pick from a trade with San Francisco. So they'll at least they will have one pick, but that is certainly dependent on where San Francisco finishes up this year. I'm with you. It's a story we've maybe kind of glanced aside just because there weren't the immediate betting implications there. And, I mean, look, you lose one of your two first-round picks for 2023. You lose a third in 24. Your owner gets fined $1.5 million, which to him is like, you know, throwing a crisp $20 bill on the streets of Miami. But it is, yes, very kind of underreported this whole time.
But Tom Brady totally didn't hate Bruce Arians, and that's not why he tried to fade.
No.
Totally not what happened.
There's no way. No way at all. One other quick note to add on the – again, we've been talking Juan Soto and that trade throughout the show today, and we're going to have Will Hill on next to give some of his thoughts on that as well as some NFL futures discussion as well. Sounds like Eric Hosmer is also now being included. We originally thought that some of the reports were that was going to be a salary dump there for San Diego. Hosmer is actually being included. He is the last major league player they're throwing in that trade. San Diego to Washington for Juan Soto. However, Washington is on his no-trade list, so he still has to approve it. So that remains in the balance right now. But again, the deal is done for the players that are currently in the mix right now. Juan Soto there heading to San Diego. So if you imagine that, you're on a no-trade list for Washington. You're the Haas. Your team's a playoff contender, and it's like, yeah, man, get out. Just go.
He was hot at the beginning of the year. I traded for him in fantasy baseball, thinking he'd be able to keep it up. Apparently, high batting average on balls in play on all ground balls is not something that's sustainable.
Not sustainable. Hey, you live and you learn. So as far as some of these NFL news and notes from around training camp today, it's funny how Jerry Jones gives us some sort of new quote seemingly every single day, JVT, in the run-up of training camp to work with. Says Zeke Elliott has to be the focus in the run game this season. We had this discussion with Michael Lombardi on the show last week of how we kind of view this overall Cowboy backfield, where we saw how good Tony Pollard was. He led the NFL, right, and he's led the NFL, I believe, in most missed tackles forced since 2019. Actually, I think he's, if I actually think about that now, he's third on that overall list. There's only two other backs who've broken more tackles than Tony Pollard. So you think about where Dallas is at now and how the production with Pollard has been so good. It's like, where do you see the real productive link here? Is it a true, I hesitate to say timeshare, but is it a true situation where you're giving Pollard significant reps, or you have the mindset like what Jerry Jones comes out and says, where you want Elliott to be the sole focus of your run game? I just think that's an interesting thing to come out with so early in training camp when you know you have a second piece who has been very, very solid over the past couple of years.
You're dancing around it. I will say it. Tony Pollard's better than Ezekiel Elliott. I think that's pretty flatly true at this point right now. So if Jerry Jones is serious in saying something like that, that's one, it's ridiculous. You have every single thing to point at that says Pollard is your better option at this point right now. And also, I mean, look, it's 2022, man. We shouldn't be leaning into running backs anymore if you're running your offense, as we know. Now, we know that James Washington just got hurt, so that's going to be a little bit of a problem for him. Their wide receiver core as a whole is going to be pretty weak. It was already weak before Washington got ruled out with the fractured foot that came down yesterday. But at the same time, we had, like, these are all like the wrong things to say if you're the Cowboys. One, to rely on the archaic, hey, man, we're going to establish a run and run our offense through Zeke. And the other is, Zeke's not even your best guy when it comes to statistical output. You kind of alluded to it. Last year, 5.5 yards per carry compared to 4.1 for Ezekiel Elliott. From a PFF grading standpoint, if you like that, overall grade 86 compared to 69.3 for Zeke. How about a rushing grade of 90.3 for Pollard, 76.6 for Ezekiel Elliott? You mentioned the missed tackles forced after a run, 27 for him on 162 snaps, 134 attempts. Zeke Elliott had nearly twice that and forced six fewer missed tackles, right? So like this is, there's so many different ways to point to this and say this is the wrong thing to do if you're the Dallas Cowboys. But as you said, it's Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones is going to talk, and he's going to say stuff like, I still have choices when it comes to his head coach, and then be appalled when people are like, so does that mean that Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat? This is what Jerry Jones does.
Right. He adds in that statement, there is room for Tony.
That's no, there shouldn't be said. Room, though. The room should be that he is at top of the depth chart. It's ridiculous.
There's room for Tony while Zeke is in there. And look, I mean, it was Jerry Jones had the six-year, $90 million contract extension for Elliott tied up through 2026 when he'll turn 31.
Wants to get his money's worth.
There is some – it's just some irony, though, when you think about where – I mean, what was – I mean, Jerry Jones' first big move as Cowboy owner was trading away Herschel Walker, which – I mean, not that that's a totally fair comparison to where Elliott is at, but –
Herschel Walker down in the polls, I think, huh?
I've heard. JVT, political correspondent here at the network, along with being our NBA – senior analyst. But like, think about that and trading him away and the haul they got and how he was kind of that was really the first, at least in the modern NFL, if you go back to the early 90s, like the first case study in, okay, here's the first time we saw a team pay way too much for running back who was getting to be over the hill. And again, it's kind of unfair to say Ezekiel Elliott is now just going to crater totally. He's at least somewhat valuable, but like it's the numbers you lay out. I mean, do the numbers, as you guys always say, on the edge.
Right.
It's like there's really no, as you say, there's no sugarcoating it with what the production has actually been. So I just find that ironic where you have Jerry Jones, and the guy who, that's kind of how he got his break at least, and that was how the Cowboys originally found so much success with all the branches off of that Walker trade.
He's old.
30 years ago.
Yeah,
now here we are.
And here's the thing too, and this is kind of the thing with Dallas. So you come into this year, they're saying all the wrong things when it comes to their head coach or how they're going to approach their offense. Their offense looks worse on paper than it is. I mean, this is actually a team that I think when you look at the offseason, I don't think they really did anything. I think there's a few teams where you can look at and go, you know what, this offseason they either got worse or stayed the same, and I think Dallas is one of those teams. Defensively, they're going to be worse this year. They're going to be in the bottom half of the league in terms of their rush defense. I don't know where they're going to get a consistent pass rush from outside of Michael Parsons. This is a team that, when you look at them overall, and as the division rises to meet them too, by the way, right? Washington looks like they'd be a little bit better. I've got an over bet on the Giants, and they look like they're going to be a more competent team. We know how good the roster is for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't like the direction the Cowboys are heading. And now you come into this year with a banged up wide receiving core and we'll call it stubbornness to feed Zeke. It's not off to a great start. We're not even in the preseason yet.
Right. And you talk about defensively. It's like where I would imagine, I can kind of guess where you probably stand on a guy like Trevon Diggs, who and a little
who
enigmatic.
Got extremely lucky last
a guy
year.
Who, right. I was, yeah, that's pretty much where I was going. 11 interceptions, but also allowed them. The only guy who allows more than 1,000 yards to be caught against him a season ago. And it's like, okay, what realistically is going to, is going to be that sort of statistical outcome that bears true over the long run? you would think it would be those yards allowed and not necessarily the interceptions with how much of a gambling style he actually utilizes when he's a corner there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you said it. Last year when targeted, 101 targets, 57 receptions, 1,068 yards, 5 touchdowns. And yes, he got 11 interceptions, but many of those were, we can call them just flat out lucky, right? Being in the right position at the right time, bounces that went his way, whatever it was. And like, yeah, all across the board, there are red flags for Dallas, including at the top with Mike McCarthy, who doesn't add anything in terms of wins at the margins for this team with his decision making, that this is going to be a team that, in this division, by the way, is going to be one that pushes for like maybe 10-9 wins and in a division that is really just all four teams that are on even playing field with one another.
At the end of the day, what did you, so you find there is value? Giants, do you still feel that way on Philadelphia, who's gotten a ton of love in the betting market in this offseason?
My thing with Philly is like the ship sailed in terms of the odds. I just when so much is reliant on one single guy, that would be Jalen Hurts, who last year, over a relatively small, large sample size, did not show the ability to progress as a passer. That's what kind of worries me about the Philadelphia Eagles. So for me, if you're taking any shots, if you're looking for value in the division, it is the Giants. I love what the Giants did. That's why I bet them over their win total. I think there's an outside shot that they could be a playoff team when you look at the way that the NFC breaks down and competing for that seventh seed, because all those teams in that range are going to be really close to one another. When you look at the Giants and what they're going to be able to do this year, and the way they've added to their roster as well. I mean, if guys like Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau hit, all of a sudden you're looking at the Giants with some real strengths along their offensive and defensive lines, and Brian Daboll maximizing Daniel Jones. Yeah, I really like the Giants a lot in this division.
And by the raw win total on strength of schedule, easiest schedule from Warren Sharp, Eagles second easiest for whatever that is worth. You can still find the Giants down to 2-1 now to make the playoffs. So
that was as high as 240, 260. Yeah.
Plus 200 to bet MGM on the Giants. New York Giants long shots plus 650 there at MGM to win the NFC East. When we return, Will Hill going to join us, the New York City cast host from Bet Rivers, also a Point Spread Weekly contributor. Get his thoughts on the Soto deal. Juan Soto again from the Nationals to the Padres. That deal is done. As well as some of his thoughts on NFL training camp and his angles on NFL futures. That's next when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code VSIN1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM's state-of-the-art app offers a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. No matter what your favorite sport is, you'll find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code VSIN1000 to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offers not available in Nevada or New York. As we're back on the Lombardi Line from Las Vegas, South Point Sportsbook Studio, I'm Ben Wilson with Jonathan Von Tobel. You said you saw a release from Stephen Ross, Dolphins owner here, over the break.
Oh, yeah, he said I didn't do it. That's pretty much what it is. Like, yeah, it wasn't me. It was Shaggy voice. Just, it wasn't me, and then we move on from there. Also,
trying to picture Stephen Ross saying that in the Shaggy voice is right. Also kind of hilarious.
It does sound like Juan Soto has rejected.
But Eric Hosmer. Juan Soto rejected the trade.
No, you cannot do this. No, Eric Hosmer has rejected the deal. He will not, as you mentioned, he has the no-trade clause. It sounds like he's officially told the Padres to screw off. I'm staying. So we'll see if that's going to be the case. Which is interesting because... So you get – this is why Twitter and baseball trade deadline is awesome. Back-to-back tweets. John Morosi, sources, Padres and Eric Hosmer's representatives currently negotiating about what it would take for Hosmer to approve the trade to the Nats. Bob Nightingale, there are no active negotiations going on with Eric Hosmer and the Padres after he rejected the trade to the Nats. So it's happening.
Who knows? Trade deadline, it is always something.
Yes, I believe in Bob Nightingale, so I'm going to go that way.
Bob Nightingale, great VSiN guest we've had on multiple shows in the past. Want to get we'll have a couple of our guests here give their thoughts, I should say, on what they believe is now going to be the implications of this Juan Soto deal. The first of which is our guy Will Hill, who hosts the New York City Cast for Bet Rivers. Follow him at Not The Will Hill. Will, great to see you. I was just at Yankee Stadium, by the way, this weekend. I was thinking of you while I was watching the Yankees blow their bullpen.
You didn't hit him up, though.
I should have. There was a lot of things going on.
I would have hit you up, Will.
Okay. Way to make me.
I believe you.
I know Will. I know Will does. Now I look like the bad guy. Will, what do you make of the Soto trade here? Even though, again, still trying to figure out some of the final pieces here. But Soto to San Diego. We've seen the betting markets really, really shorten up here on the Padres, down as low as about +450 now in a lot of shops to come out of the NL at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first takeaway is this is a lot of fun. I think it's been a while since he got just a huge blockbuster trade like this. I know Scherzer went last year, but this is a guy who's 23, just on an incredible trajectory. You know, he walks, he hits homers, he's won a champion. He's just a great player. And I don't know that this brings Soto. Man, if this happened last year, he probably would have won the MVP. He should have won it anyway. I think the only reason he did it is because he was on a bad team. So now he's on a great team. It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't go rushing to bet their futures. You still have to go through four rounds to win the World Series. I mean, think about it. They're not going to win the division. So you're basically looking at a four-team parlay of some combination. They could play Atlanta in round one, and they might not have home field. So if you have to play at Atlanta that first two out of three, then beat something like the Dodgers, the Mets, and either the Astros, the Yankees, that's still not easy. Again, I've been of the mindset that one of five teams will win the World Series in some order, Yankees, Dodgers, Astros, Mets, Braves. I think you have to include the Padres in that mix, not only adding Soto, but adding Bell. Looks like they'll get Hosmer out of there. Maybe you bring in Hader. You know, that's still not great lights out pitching, but Musgrove, Darvish, it's pretty good. That's a hell of a lineup. This is going to be a lot of fun. I wouldn't go rushing to bet their futures, though.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. In some spots out here locally, will have actually cut their odds to win the World Series into 5-1, which is a little extreme. Just before, from a betting standpoint, the package itself, it seemed kind of modest to me for a guy like Soto. Did that strike you the same?
It's always tough because you never really know, you know, with these guys. Remember when Lindor got traded to the Mets, we're like, oh, that's all he went for. And it turns out, you know, Jimenez turns out to be an all-star. Sometimes these deals can look a little different 2 or 3 years later. And I mean, different sport. But I remember when Pau Gasol got traded for Marc Gasol, everyone's like, it's the greatest heist in history. Well, yeah, Marc Gasol went on to be like basically a Hall of Fame level player. So it ends up not being that bad. So it's always tough. I mean, you get Gore, you got Abrams. I know this kid, James Wood, supposed to be a good player. I mean, it's hard. It's like getting a great quarterback in the draft. When you get somebody like Soto, when you get a great quarterback in the draft, it's hard to overpay. So I certainly can't say the Padres overpaid. Did the Nationals get enough? Well, you better hope they got enough because, I mean, look, in the last 4 years, they've let Trey Turner, Scherzer, Harper, now Soto go. I'm probably missing some guys. The guys they've kept and the guys they paid are Corbett and Strasburg, who can't pitch, can't get anybody out. So, boy, 2019, what's the saying? Life comes at you fast, man. They certainly need to get a lot back here in this deal because, boy, it's going to be a long and painful rebuild here for the Washington Nationals.
Hey, Nationals, Cubs, it happens quickly. Those teams who've won within the last 6 years, what do you think about it? What do you think of the Hader deal as well, Will? Because that's the one that was the big story coming out of yesterday and now certainly gets buried beneath the veneer there of Soto going to San Diego, where the Padres also acquire one of the best closers in baseball on top of that.
Yeah, very surprising. I mean, baseball's a weird sport like this. You have a first-place team, a pennant contender in the Brewers, and I know you can say, hey, you can replace Hader with Williams. You didn't want to pay Hader. But, I mean, I like the setup of, you know, you don't have a great team if you're Milwaukee, but you have pitching, you have Burns, you have Woodruff, and you can be in a situation where in a big game, you can use you know, Williams and Hader for a combined nine outs. Now that's out the window. I know Williams can fill in and be the closer, and he's outstanding. To me, I don't get it. If you're Milwaukee, I know they're a small market trying to make it work with the money, but boy, if I'm a fan, I have a hard time buying into that one. If I'm a Brewers fan, good for the Padres, obviously, even though he hasn't been great this year. You know, he had that blow up in San Francisco where he gave up three homers, gave up the grand slam. He hasn't been great, but he's recovered nicely from that. And, look, this is a guy that basically went a calendar year without giving up a run in the postseason, in the regular season. He's really good.
So according to Bob Nightingale, official Juan Soto deal done. Does not include Eric Hosmer.
No, Eric Hosmer. Yep. All right.
Wow.
Interesting. We've got that. And for what it's worth, Will, as a long-suffering Brewers fan, yes, my initial reaction was like, what? Seriously? I get that maybe you didn't want to. It would be another probably $4 or $5 million next year, but really? Really? I love Devin Williams as well. I wanted to get your thoughts on that too. So as we come out now of this trade deadline here, as far as the way the futures market is set up, has there been anything that you found yourself looking at firing on here? I know you've got some plays for the card today specifically, but with the way things have shaken up, anything that warrants a play to you at this point now that we are getting closer to the deadline? And we've seen a number of teams, not just San Diego, a bunch of teams here make pretty impactful moves to bolster their chances at the deadline.
No, I mean, I really like what the Yankees did. I didn't think they made a splash, but adding Montas, the bullpen guys, Benintendi, they've sort of attacked all phases of their game. If they could ever get Kiner Falefa off a shortstop, they'd make a lot of people happy. I'm sure they'll get Gallo out of there. But they address the starting rotation. They address the bullpen, get another left-handed hitter in the outfield. I think they really improved their team. And look, I think Severino, if he comes back, when he comes back, you can probably transition him into the bullpen. So the Yankees made some good moves, but I think here's how I would put it with the futures. The good teams, the prices are already, you know, like you mentioned with the Padres at 5-1. There's just no value with the good teams. Then if you're looking for somebody off the radar, well, now you have to deal with that extra wild card round, that best 2 out of 3, and you got to basically hit a 4-round parlay to cash one of these World Series futures. So I think it's tough to find value off the trade deadline. Usually, you know, the time to get it is before that. I know the Mariners were like 80-1, 90-1 to win the World Series a couple weeks ago. I don't have their number in front of me, but I'm sure that's cut in half, if not more. So usually the time to do this is before the team makes the move. So I know it's not a great answer, but I would have a hard time, you know,
totally
finding something with great value this time of the year.
Will Hill with us. All right, so I think from a day-to-day standpoint, right, you can still obviously handicap these games. What do you got for today?
Yeah, I played a few. Look, I'm going to take Baltimore plus money. I know they sold off here and got rid of Mancini. They got rid of Jorge Lopez. But, look, they can move up some of those guys in the bullpen, Batista and Tate. I mean, they still got plenty of arms in the pen. Look, if you're going to give me the Orioles at plus money, it's just sort of been a rote play here for me. Baltimore has been a money machine, whether it's money line, run line. So I'm going to take them here plus money. I just kind of put it in my pocket. Don't really think about it when it comes to Baltimore. They've been very good to me, very profitable, so I bet them. I bet under first five with Garrett and Ashcraft in the Reds-Marlins game. Seems like the Reds and Marlins have played every day for like 2 weeks here. It's kind of strange. But Garrett's, I think, seventh pick overall. He's coming to his own lately. Ashcraft with a 100-mile-an-hour cutter is going to be a good pitcher, so I played under first five there. And I did play the Blue Jays over the Rays. To me, it's Gausman against Rasmussen for Toronto. Better starting pitcher, better lineup, not a crazy price. So I laid the -130 here with Toronto.
Boom. Will Hill joining us, not the Will Hill as well on Twitter. New York City cast host. You also have a play on the nightcap as well tonight. Dodgers Giants, as we'll see Tyler Anderson take the mound here for LA starting up this series.
Yeah, not the Will Hill and not the friend of Ben Wilson, apparently, as he's in my neighborhood, not even giving me
Correct.
A call.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna try to finish the segment out strong anyway. Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting price on LA. I'm a sucker. If you're gonna give me the Dodgers at -130 or so, I'm just gonna take the bait and I'm gonna go for it. So I did bet the Dodgers as well.
I should say second game of that series, Dodgers with the it's just been absolute ownage. It has felt like one way here for the Dodgers against the Giants, especially coming out of the All-Star break. Will, buddy, again, I'm sorry, man. I still hold it against you that you called me a fraud for refusing to bet NFL preseason last year. So that's definitely why.
Fraud was not the word. It was terrorist. It was not fraud.
Okay,
fraud
much better. Much better.
Trying to give Will the benefit of it. Now that you mention that, I do remember we were sitting in the exact same chairs. Yes, you called me a terrorist. I wanted to say fraud.
You guys were sitting in the same chair?
Was he stand in by it?
No,
too.
No. Like I was in this chair. Will was in that chair. John always ready with the one liners. Thanks, Will. We'll talk soon.
See you guys,
buddy. Hour number two. We'll give our thoughts on the Major League Baseball card for today when we return. Also, a bunch of breaking news in MLB. The trade deadline, it's here on the Lombardi Line.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.